Okay, today's daf is Menachos daf Nun Hey. We're holding on the very top of daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, second line of the page Umina. So first thing, we were in the middle of a conversation from yesterday. What happens when the shear of an item changes? It expands, it swells, or it shrivels up. So do we look at what it is now, or do we look at what it once was? So we're going to continue that discussion and finish it up in the first few lines of today's daf, and then we're going to move on to once we discuss things that shrivel up and things that expand. So we were talking about te'enim and grogros and being mafresh truma from te'enim onto grogros, from grogros onto te'enim, you know, all as part of the conversation of whether we view them as the same thing, or we view them as different from each other because they now have a different volume in terms of trumos. So we're also going to discuss another reason why there may be a problem of being toreim from one on the other, and that is that the halacha generally is you're always supposed to be torim min hayafa and not min hara'a. So if one of them is considered inferior to the other, forget about the volume and forget about the fact that if you have 90 te'enim and 10 grogros, and then you're mafresh those 10 grogros as meiser, that it's going to be way less than 10% of the volume of the fruit, it may be a different problem that you're being torim min hara'a al hayafa. So we're going to discuss when, if ever, you're allowed to be Torah min hara'a ala yafa, and how that plays out in being Torah from te'enim to grogros and grogros to te'enim, dried figs to regular figs, regular figs to dried figs. Then on the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to start to discuss the halacha that we mentioned already, that menachos require shmira from chimutz, that it's not enough that they not become chametz, that we actively engage a potential for a chimutz process by using lukewarm water, which is the most likely to lead to chimutz, but then you need an extra level of shmira from chimutz. And the Mishnah is also going to tell us how many different losases a person could violate if he makes his karban mincha chametz. So the Gemara is going to discuss the source for those isurim, and specifically it's going to emerge from the fact that the Torah singles out the baking of in the Yisr of chametz, the baking of the karban mincha in the Yisr of chametz, that it shows that each stage of the process is also a separate iser of chametz. So that's going to lead us into a discussion of the midos shatorah nedrashas behen, meaning whether we're going to see this is one of the less commonly used midos shatorah nedrashas behen that leads us to this conclusion that every step in the process of the baking of a korban mincha or of the preparing of a korban mincha that is chametz is a separate iser, and we're going to discuss, well, why don't we use a more common midah shatar jesben, that of klal uprat? And can you always use klal uprat? What if they are meruchakin zemizah? The klal and the prat aren't right next to each other. So Ibn Baz is a lot of discussion of an application of the midah shatar jesben. So let's begin again. Daf nunei amar alef, two lines from the top. Umina. So we're right in the middle of the discussion. We're discussing this brisa that talks about being torim from grogros to teinim. So it says more. Umina, Amr Blaz Rabbi Yossi, Abba Hayunotel Eser Grogro Shabi Mktsawa, Altishim Shabi Kalkala. So Rabbi Blaz Rabbi Yossi says, my father, and his father was somebody, was Rabbi Yossi, used to take 10 dried figs as meiser for the 90 regular figs that he had. So, Ian, Bishlam Likimo Shehain Amrinan Shapir. If you say that you view everything the way they used to be, so then I understand very well why he would do such a thing. Because, yes, the dried figs right now of much smaller volume than 10% of the total, but what they used to be is exactly 10% of the total. So then I understand very well that you can have such a ratio. Ela I amrit kimos shehein batzalu. But if you view them as what they are right now, well, then he's not bringing anywhere near 10% because he's taking much less volume than 10%. By number, he's taking 10%, but since the ones he's taking are dry and it's covering the ones that are still moist, so then it's way less than the shear. So it says, "No, kiyaser of dimi or mablazer shiny grogros." Normally, we look at what things are right now. Grogros are a different story. The reason Grogros, we don't look at what they are right now, is because they can be brought back to becoming moist figs again. You can cook them for an extended period of time. Being sholek is a lashon of cooking. Right? The issur of bishalakum is not referred to in the Mishnah as in Avodah Zarah Lamed Hey of bishalakum. It's hashlakos, that which is cooked or slow cooked. So if you're sholek with Grogros, they go back into becoming regular te'enim, and since they can be reconstituted as te'enim, that's why we view them right now as te'enim. Now that comment of the Gemara may have significant ramifications halacha l'maisa. Maram Shik has a tshuva on Archaim Sim Reish Nun Aleph. If you have a kezayis of iser that's in its stomach that becomes shriveled up, or you have less than a kezayis that swells, whether we measure it based on what it is or based on what it once was. So he brings a raya that the Ramban quotes from, he brings a riot from our sugya, that any food that had a shear originally and is now in its stomach, so you wouldn't be chayavan, but a grogros and other foods that can be brought back to the original shear, you would be chayavan. The Ramban quotes this in Shabbos Taf Tzadi Aleph, that from based on our sugya, that the ability to make it expand would make it that it would be considered a full shear. The Ramban himself, however, disagrees. He says the Ramban himself says that that's not true by the dinim of Hotza'as Shabbos. By Hotza'as Shabbos, you have to wait till it actually expands, because by the melacha of Hotza'a, the halacha is that there's a shear for each item. What's considered a chashava amount of each item to be chayav for Hotza'a. So the Ramban writes that it's only kisha chazar v'tafach. If it did not go back to expanding again, you're not yet going to be chayav. And it's only by Maisos that Reb Lazar would be mechayev, even when it's not Chazar v'Tavach. So the Rashba asks, why should there be a difference between Shabbos and Trumas HaMaisros? If by Trumas HaMaisros we say the ability to bring it back to the full shear makes it that we view it right now as if it is the full shear, and that's why you could be Torim from it, or Ma'aser from it, so why don't we say the same thing when it comes to Otzos Shabbos? So the Maram Shik explains the Ramban's reasoning for distinguishing between the two. The Maram Shik explains that by Trumas HaMaisros you don't have to be misaking the extra water that's in the peiros. The only thing that requires tikkun, that requires Trumas HaMaisros to be taken from, to be misaking the tevel shabo, is the actual essence of the pri. So min adin, really, you should be able to take Trumas HaMaisros from tzimukin, from dried fruits, unregular fruits, because only what's left when you dry the fruit, that's the only part of the pri that really matters anyway. So mikra din, it really should count anyway. It's just that that we consider it to be torim minara ala yafa. Oh, so it's minara ala yafa, that's the whole problem. But if the ra could be turned back into yafa, then it's not minara ala yafa anymore. But when it comes to Hotzah Shabbos and all other dine Torah, where halacha l'moshe misina is that you require a certain shear, such a svar is not going to help. The idea that you could turn it back into the shear doesn't help for what it is right now. Right now, it's pachos migazayis. Right now, it's pachos from the shear. So it turns out, according to the Maram Shik, that the exception is our halacha. Trumas HaMaisros is the exception. Shar dinei Torah, we for sure look at what things are right now and not at what they can be reconstituted to become. However, Rav Menachem Zemba disagrees. Rav Menachem Zemba explains that Shabbos is the exception, because by Shabbos we have a notion called Melechas Machsheves, and Melechas Machsheves just creates a different standard of intention and of focus and of significance of Melacha in order to be Chayiv. So it's only by Shabbos where we say it needs to be the Shear right now in order to be Chayiv. The fact that it could become the Shear is irrelevant. But in every other area of halacha, the fact that it could become the shear is relevant. And this plays out halacha l'maisa in a very important way in the modern food business, because and how it relates to brachos and to kashrus. Let's say you have Minchas Yitzchak as a tshuva, for example. You have a piece of chocolate, a chocolate bar, falls into a pot of chicken soup. So you're trying to be mishayer, what's the shishim connected to the milk in the chocolate bar? So how much milk is in the chocolate bar? So not much milk, but milk powder. They condense it and they turn it into a milk powder, and that's what they use in the chocolate bar. Now, a little bit of milk powder is a lot of milk condensed into something very small, and if you mix it in with water in just the right way, it could actually turn back. It could be reconstituted into milk. So are you mishayer the shishim based on the milk powder, or are you mishayer the shishim based on the milk? So that's one ramification, lahalach, of this whole discussion. Another ramification, lahalacha, Minchas Yisrael himself points out, when it comes to, and this is an issue with grape juice, that when they make grape juice, they make it what they call from concentrate. So what does it mean, from concentrate? That they concentrate the grapes down into a very highly concentrated, like syrupy kind of a product, which is, it's dehydrated, essentially. They take all the extra waters out of it, and it just becomes this highly concentrated form. So now, how much water do you get to add to it and still say a bar priya gafen on it? Do you measure it based on if it were wine? Okay, so wine, there's a certain shear of how much water you could add and still say a bar priya gafen. Or do we look at, no, what it is right now, that the shear is not going to be based on, if you have 1 ounce of the concentrated version, which came from, let's say, 20 ounces of regular grape juice, do you say that if a typical meziga is al-chad tlas, is a 3-to-1 ratio, I get a 3-to-1 ratio to the 1 ounce, or a 3-to-1 ratio for the 20 ounces? So it could be big nafkamin is al-lach, but your grape juice is a bar priya gafen, and whether you're allowed to say kiddush on such grape juice. So this is a major discussion in poskim la-halacha, all emerging, or at least partially emerging, significantly emerging from our Gemara. Okay, says the Gemara further now. We're at Tanur Rabbanan, about 7 lines into the page on Nun Hey Amud Aleph. So Tanur Rabbanan, says the Braisa. Tormin, I should just mention just one other thing. We mentioned yesterday that one of the things about Truma is that you're Torim be'omer b'machshava, that you're allowed to take Truma by estimate, and b'machshava, just with thought alone. So that itself was a machlokas rishonim, what it means to be toreim b'machshava. Rashi writes that it means you're nosei nenev b'tzadzeh, and you're choshev that, yeah, whatever's there on that side should be truma, and I'll therefore eat from the other side. But you didn't actually do anything. You weren't actually mafrish anything. And Tosos is medayik, that apparently you don't need a maisa hafrasha, you don't need a dibur, just simply going through the mental process of deciding which part of this pile is going to be truma and which is not, that actually accomplishes the mitzvah. Rashi, Maseches Bechoros, and Daf Nun Tes quotes one daya that you need dibur at least, that it's not enough just to have pure machshava, whereas the Me'iri has a vastly different reading of it. The Me'iri says, when we say that you can be torim ba'omer of a machshava, those aren't two separate things. It means that you can estimate in your mind instead of estimating through any sort of measuring, without measuring at all. That's what it means. Machshava is milashon cheshbon, not milashon just thinking. Is that you're allowed to make cheshbonos in terms of your omed. But of course you need a maisa. The hafrasha has to be an actual hafrasha. It's just that no actual measuring has to be done. So the Rambam writes in the fourth part of the Truma that if a person is mafresh truma machshava and he's not motzi b'svasav, it still counts as truma if he doesn't say anything, because it says v'nechshav lechem trumaschem, that machshava alone it's truma. But the Mefarshim and the Rambam are not sure what he means. The Marei Korkus understands that he means to say that machshava alone, without any hafrasha or dibur, no maisa, no speaking, no nothing, is enough to accomplish truma. When he says hifrish, he doesn't mean you do a maisa of hafrasha. He means you're mafrish simply mentally. However, the Minchas Chinuch understands differently. Minchas Chinuch, Mitzvah Shin Tzadivav Ospeis, writes that according to the Rambam, machshava works without dibur, but you got to do hafrasha. Meaning there has to be some afrasha, even though there's no actual dibur. So that also is a significant discussion in Poskim, because Rabbi Kivegra has a tshuva in Madura Kama Simul Chavtes, where he asks on the shita of the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef writes, why is it that before Pesach, when we search for chametz, we don't say the bracha on bitul chametz? So he says the reason we don't say a bracha on bitul chametz, it's al bir chametz, not on bitul chametz, is because bitul is belayed. and you don't say a bracha on something that's purely belev. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, well, we don't, we say a bracha on afrashas truma, and apparently you could do afrashas truma b'machshava. Machshava belev, it means the same thing. You know, you don't actually think with your heart, right? So it's all the same thing. So why is it that you're allowed to say a bracha on afrashas truma? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger quotes from his uncle, Rav Binyamin Wolf Eiger, based on what Tosfos writes in Maseches Chulin, that the heter to be mafresh by being nosinen b'tzadzeh and being ochel b'tzadzeh only applies to demai. It only applies to something that probably had shumas taken from it already, and midrabanan we have to be mafresh again. By afrashas demai, you don't say a bracha anyway. So since there's no bracha on afrashas demai, so that's why you're allowed to do it. How do I know that you don't say a bracha afrashas demai? The Gemara in Shabbos says you're allowed to be mafresh demai kshu arum. A person could be naked and be mafresh demai. A person cannot be undressed and say a bracha. So there's no bracha on hafrashas demai. Then he says, Rabbi Kiveger says, maybe min haTorah you don't need dibur by truma, but midrabanan they were masakin that you do need dibur. Meaning the fact that it could be nitah b'machshava didn't mean midaraisa, but midrabanan it can't be nitah b'machshava. All birchus mitzvos are drabanan. So by the time we're being masakin birchus mitzvos, you need an actual ma'isa machshava. Would not be good enough. Rabbi Kiveger also suggests that he rejects that possibility, but then he suggests that, you know, the point of the Afrasha is ultimately by Truma. I think Rabbi Kiveger points out what others have pointed out, that Nodabuda and others have pointed out, there are two separate mitzvahs. There are Tzvei Dinim and Afrasha's Truma. There's a Afrasha and there's a Nesina. So the point of the Afrasha is to then lead to a Nesina Lekohen, that you got to actually get it to the Kohen. And Nodabuda is Mechadesh, and based on Tos Rid had said it before him, but he didn't have a Tosfos Rid, that these are actually two separate mitzvahs. There's Din of Hafrasha, I think you spoke about that one in your Sheva Brachos. There's a Hafrasha, and then there was a Din of Nesina, Rabbi Kiveger says, but since the whole point of the Hafrasha eventually is to get to the Nesina, so that's considered that a Maisa was actually done. Okay, so let's see Vaitinas. It says, Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Torah Mete'inim ala Grogros, B'makom Shurigilin Lasos, Te'inim Grogros. You could be Torim from Te'inim to cover Grogros, to cover dried figs, if it's normal to turn Te'inim into Grogros. I mean, if that's what's going to be done with the Te'inim anyway, so then it's fine. But V'lo Grogros al Te'inim, you cannot take the Truma from the Grogros to cover Te'inim, the dried figs, to cover the regular figs, V'afil B'makom Shurigilin Lasos, Te'inim Grogros. Even if the Te'inim that you're covering are destined to become grogros, you're still not allowed to be torn from grogros onto te'enim. So Amar Mar. So let's go analyze this. We said torment te'enim ala grogros b'makom shurigil nasos te'enim grogros, that you're allowed to take the truma from what is currently te'enim to cover that which is grogros in a place where te'enim normally become grogros. B'makom shurigilin in, b'makom shein regilin lo. Sounds like, but if it's not normal to turn te'enim into grogros, if that's not typical in that place, then you're not allowed to be torim from te'enim onto grogros. Well, why not? Heichidami, what exactly is the circumstance? Idika Kohen, if there's a Kohen available, so right after you do the Afrasha, you'll be able to give it to the Kohen, you'll be able to complete the mitzvah, Makom She'enu Ragil Amaylo. Why, if they don't normally turn Te'enim into Grogros, is it a problem of being Mafresh in Te'enim? Vatan, Makom She'ish Kohen, Tori Benayafa. When there is a Kohen available, you should take from the best of the produce, because you can then provide that to the Kohen. So you'll be a hinder in your Nesina, you'll be giving to the Kohen the best of your produce. So what would be the problem with it if there's a Kohen available? Elipshita deleka Kohen. The fact that we don't want you being mafresh from Te'enim onto Grogros must be because there's no Kohen available. And if there's no Kohen available, we don't want you to be mafresh from the moist figs, because they'll spoil more quickly than dried figs. Because you're going to have to hang on to it till you find the Kohen, and then you're going to have to do the Nesina. So you're going to have this this bag of moist figs waiting for a kohen. By the time you find a kohen, it might spoil already. So you have to play it safe. Better to take from Grogros to cover the Grogros, because then you'll have a better chance of giving something that's worthwhile to the kohen. But then Ema Seifa, the Seifa says, once we make this ukimta that we're talking about, that there is no kohen available, Ema Seifa, the Seifa goes on to tell us that velo Grogros ala te'enim, that you're not allowed to be mafresh from dried figs on te'enim, va'afil b'makom sharagi lasos te'enim Grogros, even if it's a place where typically they turn to enim into grogros. But if there's no coin available, why not? That if there's no coin, then you're supposed to be torn from whatever's going to last the longest. So it emerges from the seifas that there must be a coin available. Otherwise, if there was no coin available, you're supposed to give only grogros. So what? Reisha de leka coin, seifa de ika coin. The reisha is talking about a circumstance where there's no coin. The Seif is talking about a circumstance where there is a coin. You know, it makes it sound like we're talking about in the same circumstance. It's just a matter, can you take from the Tainim? Can you take from the Grogros? Says, in Reisha Delaka coin, Seif Adika coin. We're allowed to make such a Nukimta that the Reisha is talking about where there's no coin, and the Seif is talking about where there is a coin. Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, what emerges from that analysis of the Braisa is a klal. Shema mina dachkinun mukminun nastisun betray tami v'lom mukminun betray tana'i. That we have two options of how to learn the Reisha and the Seifa of this Braisa. We could say what we did say, that there are two different circumstances being described in the Reisha and the Seifa, even though the Braisa gave no indication that anything changed in terms of the background information between the Reisha and the Seifa. We'd rather make such an ukimta rather than to say that there are two opinions in Tana'im that are being expressed in the Braisa. Because we could have given that answer. We could have said that the Braisa is talking about when there's no Kohen available. If there's no Kohen available, aren't you always supposed to give Mina Mekayim and not Mina Meskayim and not Mina Yafa? Just take the Truma from whatever's going to last the longest, so that hopefully by the time you run into a Kohen, you'll still have something to give them. Maybe that's a machlokas. Maybe the Bryson disagrees with that mission and holds that it does not hold that you're supposed to be mafresh when there's no coin mina miskai. Maybe you're always supposed to be mafresh mina yafa. What would be the svara to say such a thing? Mafresh mina miskai makes a lot of sense. You don't have a coin available. You want to make sure by the time you give it to the coin, you have something to give him. You take the moist fruits, they're all going to be spoiled by the time. They're going to be rotted by the time you give it to a coin. So that might relate to what we were talking about before, that there are two separate mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah of Afrasha and the mitzvah of Nesina. So, Enochinami, vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Nesina Lekohen, when you actually give it to the Kohen, it makes a lot of sense to be Mafresh Menemeskayim, so that when you actually meet a Kohen, you'll have what to give him. But what about the mitzvah safrasha, right? There's a hiddur in the mitzvah safrasha to take right now from what is the best. In the mitzvah safrasha, hafrasha's trumas. So if you view it as two separate mitzvahs, then it would make sense to be mafresh minayafa, that I'm going to do this mitzvah right now in the best possible way. What does that mean for my mitzvahs nesina? I don't know. We'll have to see how soon I meet a kohen. But if you view it as one long mitzvah, that the whole purpose of that hafrasha is only for the nesina, and it's one long mitzvah, so then I have to keep the long game in mind, and I already have to be thinking about how am I going to get a kohen, something that's valuable, and then I would have to take mina miskayim. But the Gemara would rather not say that it's a machlokas at all. We'd prefer to say we're talking about two separate circumstances, rather than saying that there's any machlokas over here. Okay, so that's the klal that emerges. Says the Mishnah now, when you knead the dough of a carbon mincha, you use lukewarm water. It's best for the bread baking process, but it is worse in terms of it increases the likelihood of chimutz. It speeds up the chimutz process. And therefore, you really need to guard it well that it should not become chametz. And if even the shirayim, forget about the chametz itself, even the shirayim, whatever's left over for the kohanim to eat, become chametz over below sase. You have violated the low sase shenemar. Kol mincha shetakriv laHashem lo sase chametz. And not only that, if you violate the low sase, if it becomes chametz, v'chayiv alishasa, v'alarichasa, v'alafiyasa, you're chayiv for every step of the process when you're dealing with a korban mincha that has become chametz. On the kneading of the dough, the preparing of the loaves, the baking of the loaves, all of it is a separate, so three separate losases, three separate malkios, if a person makes his korban mincha chametz. Mikdash David has a discussion. We said that you're supposed to, the Mishnah over here says you're supposed to mix it with lukewarm water, with poshrin. Mikdash David says, and what kind of water do you use for that? Does it have to be done with mayim shel kodesh, mayim from the kior, which has already has kedush saguf, because it was in the kior? Because otherwise, l'chora, when you're maktir the kometz, right, so you're maktir the kometz on the mizbeach, aren't you being maktir chulin ba'azara? Because the water that's in there is water of chulin, so maybe the water has to be kodesh, or maybe no, maybe even mayim shel chulin is fine, and it's not an issue of being maktir chulin azara, because after the lisha you put the dough into a kli shareis, so that will be makadesh the mayim, so then it's not going to be chulin bazara by the time you're maktir. So he's not sure. Mikdash David raises the safek, and he then proves that you're allowed to use even regular water mayim shel chulin. Why? Because the Gemara in Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the chimutz of the korban mincha is done how? Right, we had a discussion, two possibilities in the Mishnah. The Gemara had a third possibility. How are you machmitz it for those korbanos mincha that become chametz? What's the way to create the chimutz? Rabbi Yehuda says, bring sa'ar mitoch beso. You bring some yeast from your house and you put it in the mincha. That sa'ar, you certainly didn't use mayim shel kachim in making that sa'ar. And nevertheless, you still see that it's allowed to be used for a korban mincha. So says the Mikdash David, so you see a raya that you're allowed to use mayim of chulin. But then he says, not a great raya, because over there we're talking about what are the korbanos mincha that can become chametz. Shtei alechem, the chalos of chametz that are in a korban toda, those are the ones that are supposed to be chametz. Those are never niktar on the mizbech. They're never burnt on the mizbech, so they never even raise a shaila of being maktir chulin ba'azara. But maybe by other korbanos mincha where there's a haktar on the mizbech, maybe it would be different. Another point to bring out over here, the Mishnah says you have to be shomer that they shouldn't be machmitz, and if they are machmitz, you violate a lo sase. So Karenora points out that it's interesting. We start b'loshon rabbim, umishamran shelo yachmitzu, and then we're mesayim b'loshon yachid emichmitzo shiareha. That's b'loshon yachid, and he says that the ikur lav of chimutz is shayach by every mincha, minchas solus, minchas machvas, minchas marcheshes, mafetanur, whatever it is. But the lav of achmatzas hashirayim is only by minchas solus when you take the kmitza while it's still solus. So it's shayach that there would be chimutz on the shirayim because you're taking the kmitza before the chimutz process ever would have happened. By other menachos, you take the kmitza after the baking was already done. So it's not shaykh that there's going to be chimutz on the shirayim, because whatever chimutz would have happened has already happened before there ever was a shirayim, before you ever took the kmitza. So that's a fascinating diuk that the Keren Ora has. Okay, says the Gemara now, how do I know this whole din that there's this losase of chimutz? Some reshlakish tamar kral losofa chametz chalkam afilu chalkam losofa chametz, even your chelek, meaning the shirayim, what goes to the Kohen, even that can't be baked as chametz. So says Gemara, wonderful drasha, but v'haylach yudasa, is that pasuk there to teach me that drasha? Hami ba'ilei l'chatitanya, don't we already use that pasuk to teach me a different drasha? Lo sofa chametz matam lomar. Why does the pasuk have to say lo sofa chametz? Don't we already know lo se afe chametz? Or say, don't we already know v'alo kvar nemar lo se ase chametz? It already says lo se ase chametz. So fisha nemar lo say osa chametz yachal lo yechai vela achas al kulam. If it only would have said lo say osa chametz, I would think that you do the lisha, the aricha, the afiya, all of the pechimot, so you're only chayiv once. Tam lomer lo say afeh. Afiya bechlal haisa. Afiya is included in lo say osa. It's one of the asios that you do with making bread, right? So lama yatsos. Why is it that we single out afiya after we already said lo say osa? To make a hekish between afia and each other step of the process. Ma afia miyuchedes shi ma'isi yichidi v'chayev nol b'fnei atzma afaniyavi lishas v'arichas v'kol ma'isi yichidi shaba. So too, just like afia, you're chayev separately for afia from everything else, so to each and every step you're chayiv separately. Lasu yekituf, including the kituf, shahu mais ma'isa yichidi v'chayev lo b'fnei atzma, which is its own independent ma'isa, and you're chayev for the kituv separately. Wonderful, you're chayev for the kituv. What exactly is kituv? So this is a machlokas rishonim, just what the definition of the term is, of the term kituv. So Rabbeinu Gershom says kituv is that you knead the dough and you divide it up into chalas, so cutting it up into the size of pieces of dough that you want to make chalas out of. Rashi and the Ravid say that it's machlik paneha b'mayim, that before you bake it, you moisten the outer surface of it. You know, like they paint egg onto the onto the outside of the chalas. They put water on the outside of the dough. And the Rambam says that it's asiyas hakikaros. Not sure what that means exactly. Is it the braiding of the dough or the shaping of the dough? But the kituf is some step in the process. So just like the Gemara is making a drush up here, just like afia your chayivan, if you do the afia b'chimutz, so too your chayivan each and every step in the process. So says the Gemara. So the point is, though, we see from the Brisa that the pasuk lo se'af chametz comes to tell me that you chayiv malchus on each step in the process, and not to tell me that there's nisul lo saseh on the shirayim, which is what we initially wanted to say. So says Gemara, anan mechalkum kaminan. We didn't darshan the isur of shirayim from the pasuk lo se'af, from the words lo se'af chametz. It's from chalkam lo se'af chametz that we darshan. Chalkam, it means the shirayim. Ve'ema kulilach yudasa. But maybe the entire pasuk lo se'af chametz and chalkam is all just teaching me about the shirayim, and maybe our whole drasha about each step in the process is an invalid drasha. Says Gemara, no. Imkein lichtov chalkam lo se'af chametz. If it was all one thing and it was all only teaching me that your shirayim cannot be chametz, it should have said chelkam lo se'af chametz. Your shirayim cannot be chametz. My lo se'af chametz. And then only after that, chelkam sham minatarti. Must be that there are two drushes to be made. That yes, the shirayim chelkam cannot be baked as chametz, but also there's a separate issue of baking as chametz that relates to other steps in the process as well. So says Gemara, but the ema afia the afia de parat barachmana lechayev chada inach lechayev chada kulum. Maybe we're translating this drasha incorrectly. Maybe if the Torah singles out afia, it's telling me yes, you're chayev a separate malchus for afia, and all the steps in the process of baking that of preparing bread that the Torah does not single out. Maybe altogether, if they're done b'chimutz, you're chayev a separate malchus, but not that each one individually, that the kituf and the lisha and the arich, that each step in the process is a separate malchus. Says the Gemara, no, we're employing one of the midas shatar and jesben, right? We say them every day, but we don't often see them in action. Mishum david davar shahaya bichlal v'yatzam in aklal lelamed. The afia was something that was bichlal, lo se ase included afia, and now it was yatzam in aklal. It was singled out after it was already mentioned in the klal. It's lelamed. So what's it lelamed? Lo lelamed al atzmo yatzam, not just to teach about itself, lelamed al klal kulu yatzam, but it's teach about every other thing that was in that klal. Lo se asa includes every step of the process. So why is lo se afe mentioned? Because just like lo se afe is a separate malchus, so to each and every step of the process is a separate malchus. Says Gemara, how do you know you're using the correct midas shatar and jashben? Maybe you should use a different one of the midas shatar and jashben. Ve'ima lo se asa klal, lo se afe prat. Klal prat in bechlal masha beprat. Normally, when you have a klal followed by a prat, we say that's called the klal prat. And the only thing that's included in the yisur is what's specified, is what's in the prat. So it said, don't make the bread. Oh, don't bake the bread. So the whole yisur is only baking. So maybe afia in midyachrin lo. Maybe only for baking your chayiv, not chayiv for anything else. So I'm a Rabbi Apturiki. Rabbi Apturiki says, I don't know how often he comes up in Shas, Mishum David klal uprat hamurchakin zemizeh, that you can't make such a klal uprat because they are distant from each other in the Torah. Lo se asa chametz is by Yikra Perak Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph. Lo se afe chametz is in Parshas Tzav Perak Vav Pasuk Yud. So the four parakim are apart from each other. So v'chol klal uprat hamruchak and zemizeh ain don also v'chol uprat. Whenever you have a klal uprat that are somewhat distant from each other, you cannot make a klal uprat from that. Why? So the Rishonim explain because vein muktamu mu'uchar b'torah. Whatever is mu'uchar could be that it was meant to be said before or was said originally to Moshe Rabbeinu more muktam. And when you write a klal prat b'shnei yanim, we don't know which is whether it's a klal prat or it's a pratu klal, because you don't know what the correct order is supposed to be. So just like b'shnei yanim, we're not going to make klal prat because avein muktam mu'uchar. So the question, so the discussion of whether meruchakin zemizeh be'inyan echad is also based on that idea. Is the question of whether we say ein muktam mu'uchar even within a single inyan when they are meruchak zemizeh. Masav Rav Avada Bar Rava. So Rav Avada Bar Rava asks, wait a second, v'armilan, some say kedi. So that's a discussion every time in Shas you have kedi. Rashi says that kedi was someone's name. Rashi says in a number of places that armilan kedi shem chacham. Or kedi just means it was said anonymously. It wasn't said in the name of anybody. Whatever it is. Klal prad murchak and zemizeh in daranasa b'klal prad. Is that true that when the klal prad are somewhat distant from each other, we don't make a drash of a klal prad? But Hanya, I have a braisa that talks about the seir that the Nasi brings for his sin. He shechts in the same place he shechts the ola, and it is a chatas. Where is an ola shechted? Where is the seer of the Nasi supposed to be shechted? But Safon, in the northern part of the Azara, because by Karban Ola it says explicitly that you shechted the Yerucham is Bechat Safona. So Avzeh, so the seer of the Nasi is, but Safon is also in the north. But is that where we learn that the seer of the Nasi is supposed to be shechted? It already says with regard to every chatas, this very same place, where you shech the ola, so tishach et chatas. So the seer nasi is a chatas; it's one of the chataos. So why would I think it should be any different? Halamaze yatsa. So why do we have to single out the seer nasi from the klal of chataos, where it already says that you shech them in the north? It must be lekovosh. That dafka by the seer nasi, the shechita b'tzafon is so significant that it's ma'akev b'dieved. That even if you don't do it, it apostles the whole thing. So atom lekach yatzas. Are you sure that that's why the yichatos of the nasi is singled out to tell me that that the shechita b'tzafon is ma'akev? O eno ella shezet ton tzafon ve'inacher ton tzafon. Maybe it's singled out to tell me that it's the only chatos that really requires tzafon. Aye, but the pasuk said that a chatos is supposed to be shechted but tzafon. Maybe the pasuk meant only one chatas is supposed to be shechted but tzafon. This year nasi, but no other chatas. So tamalomer, that's why the pasuk, we have a third pasuk that says v'shachatas achatas b'makom ha'ola. So zebeneav l'kol chatas shetunas tzafon. So from there we see that every chatas requires tzafon. So time and the kasav of Rahman, it's only because I have this third pasuk that reveals to me that all chatas are b'tzafon v'shachatas achatas. Halavach, but had I not had that third pasuk, Hava Amina, we would have naturally assumed shezeton tzafon ve'nachaton tzafon. That even though the Torah says a chatas has to be shechted b'tzafon and a seer nasi has to be shechted b'tzafon, we would have thought that the seer nasi is the only chatas that has to be shechted b'tzafon. Why would we think that? The Torah says chatos have to be shechted b'tzafon. My taima lav mishum dava klal prat. Isn't it because it's a klal prat and we're learning it that way? Chatas has to be shechted b'tzafon. Seer nasi has to be shechted b'tzafon. Ah, klal prat. So in b'chalal mashem prat, only seer nasi has to be b'tzafon. Even though they are meruchak from each other, the klal is in Parshas Tzav, the prat is in Parshas Vayikra by the seer nasi. So danos b'chalal prat, we see that we still do apply a klal prat, even though they're meruchak from each other. So says Gemara, no, not true. Mask of Ravashi, hai klal pratu pratu klalu. It's in the reverse order. That's not a klal prat. That's a pratu klal. The prat, which is seer nasi, is earlier. It's in Parshas Vayikra. The klal is in Parshas Tzav. V'nasa klal mosif al prat v'shabilu kol mili. And therefore, if anything, the drasha should have been that it's a klal mosif al prat, and we should be marba everything. So the klal of the chatos that it says after the prat of the seer nasi should be marba all chatos that you have to shacht in the tzafon. So I don't need to learn from the chatos of Yach that all chatos required tzafon. El tana oso kokashale. Now the reason the tana needed this extra pasuk to tell me that everything requires tzafon is because of the word oso that appears in the pasuk v'hachika amar, and that's what he's trying to say. Oh, eno, maybe the seir nasi is not separated from the klal and mentioned on its own in order to be koveya chova that it's even ma'akev b'diavad el shezeton safon ve'ein acher ton safon. Maybe it's telling me that only the seir nasi requires shechita b'tzafon. No other karban chatas requires shechita b'tzafon. The kasav rachmana oso, and the reason to think that is because the pasuk says v'shachat oso. So I would have been medayik that oso, yes, only that chatos is shechita b'tzafon, but not every other chatos. So it's not based on klal pradim ruchakin. Maybe klal pradim ruchakin is not a thing. You can't darshan such things. It's just based on the word oso that I would have had a hava mina that it's only the seir nasi that's shechita b'tzafon. So the Gemara is going to continue this conversation. Okay, but now that we know that that's not what the oso is teaching us, what might the oso in fact be teaching us? And that's going to lead us well into tomorrow's daf. We're going to have four possibilities of what that word oso is coming to actually exclude.